Drawing our attention to Matthew chapter 7 once again. Matthew chapter 7. A couple of Sundays ago, we looked at the Broadway and where it leads. That's not a pleasant picture. Not a pleasant picture. Hopefully, it's frightening enough not to cause us necessarily to serve God just because we want to avoid hell, but to realize that there is a penalty for not following God. I want us to follow God because He's so good, because of His grace. What was that word? Lavish is His grace. Wonderful. I want us to follow God because of that. But I also think we need to realize and keep in our mind that there is a penalty for sin. God, being a just God, cannot allow us just to live in sin and still go to heaven. This morning I want to look at the other side of this picture. The straight gate. The focus, though, that I want to bring to this topic or to this subject, this side of the conversation here in Matthew 7, is the intentionality of the straight gate. I looked it up. It is a word. I'm not coining it. I listened to Lawrence B. Hicks this week, or I guess it was over my travels of last week. And his message a number of years ago, and I guess he's preached it a number of times, a lot of times, and a lot more has been listened to on recording. There must be a heaven somewhere. One of these days, we may just play it. If you haven't heard it, it's worth your hearing. It's a wonderful, wonderful message about heaven. And I think it was 7 points. Did a tremendous job. Lawrence B. Hicks, or otherwise known as L.B. Hicks. Just a fantastic message on heaven. The word intentional has some synonyms. Wow, we're getting started rough here. What was that, Ben? Do you ever stick your foot in your mouth? Yeah, but that's getting close. Intentional, conscious, deliberate, intended, knowing, purposeful. Purposive, set. Is that how you pronounce that? Purposive? Set, voluntary, willed, willful. That's intentional. The intentionality of the straight gate. If you have your Bible open to Matthew chapter 7, let's begin reading with verse numbers 13. Just one phrase out of verse 13, and then we'll go to verse 14. Enter ye in at the straight gate, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Do you see that? It would appear that in order to walk this way, the way that leads to life, one must get started by going through a gate. Jesus said it's straight. But one must get started by going through a gate that you will have to, number one, find it intentionally. Number two, you will have to walk it intentionally. Number three, you will have to proceed intentionally. English Standard Version says of verse number 13 and 14, "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few." That translation troubled me a little bit. Oh, I wasn't troubled about the Broadway and the description of the Broadway and that it's an easy way. That's true. It's an easy way. You can just float along in the Broadway. I don't like the word hard given to the narrow way. Did that cross you as well? Jesus said that his burden is easy and his yoke is easy, his yoke is easy, his burden is light. The songwriter penned the words along with that, "I've found it so." So how could it be that this could be rendered a hard way? I think that it could be rendered a hard way because everything about this way seems to be intentional. It's not going to come just simply because. It's not going to happen just because I want it to happen. Just because I decide one day that, well, you know, I think I'm going to follow Jesus. And then just follow without following. You see, you're not making a whole lot of sense. Well, let's take a look at it here to realize that when we look at this way as being intentional, there is a specific point that is being made. That this is a priority in a person's life. It's not the back burner, so to speak. It's not a secondary thought, so to speak. Jesus gives us something about this way and how intentional it is when he called his disciples. You remember what it was like when Jesus called his disciples? He called his disciples and he called them to drop everything and follow him. Drop everything and follow him. He taught them then, after he had them following, he said, "The principle by which I called you to drop everything to follow me is this: complete denial of self is the essence of the journey." If you're not following me, then flip over to Matthew chapter 17, where Jesus is instructing his disciples, beginning in verse number 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." You see the intentionality of the subject? It's not just something that's just going to happen because one day I decided, oh, I like the chorus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I like that chorus. I like to sing that. All those portions and parts that go with it as well. It's all good to sing. But there's something intentional about it that Jesus was telling his disciples to let him to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? You see, Jesus is declaring something hard. You say, well, how hard is it? How hard is it? Well, Jesus gives us and declares how hard it is when we find it written in Matthew 19, verse 24. And again, I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Shoo, we're all wiping the sweat off our brow there. None of us are rich. None of us are rich according to the definition that we have assigned to being rich. But every single one of us is rich in comparison to somebody else's definition that we may find, even in the United States. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, and they brought up this question. Who then can be saved? That is a startling question, isn't it? Because Jesus has just got done, he has just given them something hard about the way. I can't do this. We can't do this. You can't do this. There is something about a person, no matter what level of prosperity you find yourself enjoying, it is impossible to enter through the eye of a needle. If you've done any sewing, you know how hard it is to put that little bitty string through the eye of a needle. Especially once you get the bifocals or the trifocals or even the glasses. You know, I don't know, it's been a long time since I've tried to thread a needle. I just don't know how well it's going to be with my glasses on. I think it'd be easier just to take my glasses off because it's so difficult to put that thing through that eye of the needle. Judson Van Deventer said it well in a very familiar song. All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. The second verse said, humbly at his feet I bow, worldly pleasures all forsaken. I believe it's the third verse that said, Lord, I give myself to thee. And the chorus sums it all up repeatedly, I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. I saw a quote this week that I've said many times and I didn't even realize that I was quoting someone exactly. Obedience is not legalism. But that's the end of the quote that I read. I mean, I've said that a number of times. Obedience is not legalism. But I want to put something attached to that this morning. Obedience or adherence to an ideal could be legalism. Obedience to an ideal or adherence to an ideal could be legalism. You see, legalism for you or for me is to do something in an effort to gain salvation. Word Book describes or defines legalism as a strict conformity to the letter of the law rather than its spirit. Did you hear that? Did it sink in this morning? I'm going somewhere with this, and we're going to get there pretty quick. I'm not going to belabor the point. I just want us to understand. Obedience is not legalism, but if we're obeying just because we're obeying an ideal, Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 27, just a little bit further down than our text verses this morning. just a little bit beyond what we've already read about the straight gate, and few there be that find it, the pointing out of how intentional it is to follow this path. Jesus said it this way in chapter 7, verse 21, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven." Oh, there we can wipe the sweat off our brow once again because, well, you know, that doesn't really fit us. Well, let's just read a little bit further. Jesus went on to say, and he gives that three-letter word that changes or pivots, "But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Many will say to me in that day, "Lord, Lord, have we not..." Let me not read that. Let's not read. If you're following there, let's not read what Jesus said exactly. Because it's easy for us to brush it off. We can shake it off and say, "Well, this doesn't pertain to me because I'm not saying that. But Lord, I've done this in your name, and I've done that in your name, and I've gone to church in your name, and I've dressed this way in your name, and I've gone to places in your name, and I've changed my vocabulary in your name, and I've done all of these things in your name." Now, it's not saying, Jesus is not saying that prophesying in his name or casting out devils in his name or doing many, many wonderful works in his name, he's not saying that those things were bad. But there was something amiss while they were doing these things in his name. Are we doing things in his name with something amiss? In other words, we're obeying an ideal rather than obeying the will of the Father. We're fulfilling the requirement of the law without fulfilling the letter of the law by loving him and living for him and faithfully following him and denying ourselves and taking up the cross. Jesus finishes that little section there, verse number 23, with some very profound words that startle me. You've heard me say that so many times, if you can remember me saying it. "Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." You know, My life is made up. The majority of my life is made up of trying my best to do something for Jesus. Trying my best to make a difference in somebody's life for Jesus. You know what Jesus is giving here in these verses that I didn't specifically read? Could be what I would say. "Lord, I'm doing all of this for you." I'm doing all of this for you. Little boy came up to me yesterday at the park, pointed his finger at me. He said, "You haven't played basketball with me for a long time." He's the son of the lady that cuts my hair in town. And when they had their shop upstairs in what is now their home, it was a big room, and they had a little Tykes basketball goal set up there in that big room. And while I was waiting for a haircut, or after I got done with a haircut, I would go and play basketball with the little guy. And me being on my knees, I just can't jump off of my knees. A couple of minutes on my knees in that context really, really hurts. And so he would beat me. And he loved it. "You haven't played basketball. Why was I doing it?" I did it because I wanted to make a difference in somebody's life for Jesus. Now he wants me to go upstairs in his house. The basketball goal's still there. He said, you need to come and play ball. I can't just go to your living room and play basketball with you. Prophesied in your name. I haven't cast out devils. I've tried, I suppose. Done so many things of works in your name. And then to come down to the end, to hear him say, I never knew you, depart from me. Are you hearing it? Obedience to an ideal, the letter of the law, but not the spirit of it. You see, the broad way, and I don't want to spend time on the broad way, I want to spend time on the narrow way, but I think we have to have a comparison here in this particular context. The broad way says that everything and anything goes. You just have to have faith. It sounds so wonderful. You just need to believe. If you just say this prayer, I thank God for death, the possibility of deathbed repentance. I thank God for the possibility of it. And the reality of it is that Jesus gives us that option, or he gives that position, but how fearful it is to bring ourselves to that place. Because words, just words, don't suffice. I can say the prayer, but it's got to be down inside. And Jesus knew that that thief on the cross that gives us this picture of the possibility of a deathbed repentance knew that in that thief's heart there was a repentance, a compelling to him. The Broadway speaks about the abuses of the past and eagerly, the Broadway eagerly waits for the pendulum swing. Leaving in its wake a spirit of ease and comfort in the things of this world. The quote that so often comes off of the Broadway in this spirit is, I don't feel bad when I do it. I don't feel bad when I go there. I don't feel bad when I say this. I don't feel bad when I wear that. I just don't see what's wrong with it. It's just legalism anyway. Those are quotes that come off of the Broadway. Because the Broadway is easy. The Broadway is wide. The Broadway many people find. But there's something about the narrow way that differs from the Broadway. There's something about the narrow way that the translator recognized was the opposite of the ease of the Broadway, and so he recognized that the opposite of the ease would be that there's something hard about it. Not that something needs to be a drudgery, not that something that is burdensome strapped over the individual, causing them to be burdened by the hardship, but because of the intentionality that is needed. There's an intentional focus that is indicated in the narrow way. An intentional discovery. He said, few there be that find it. It's an intentional walk. Step by step, in step with the Master. It's an intentional obedience that is realized in every step. The design of this straight gate is, are you listening to me? The design of this straight gate is not how I feel, but how does God feel? The design of this straight gate is not about what I think, but what does God think? The design of the straight gate is not about my will, but what is God's will? How do you know that you're not called to preach? Boy, I got some attention there. Let's try it again. How do you know you're not called to teach a Sunday school class? How do you know you're not called? Well, I don't feel it. Whoa. Maybe we ought to be more focused on the other side. I'm confident that God isn't calling me because of this, rather than say, well, I just don't feel it, so God must not be calling. Why is it that so many young people go to Bible school, and because they've come to a Bible school with spiritual focus, that then God calls them to a specific place of ministry? Is it because they finally reached the point of focus and priority that they are able to hear God's voice clearly? And so in the midst of our usual everyday run-of-the-mill conduct and living, we're not really focusing in on the voice of the Holy Spirit or the voice of God. And so therefore, I'm not really, really, really listening to what He wants for me, and I can just slip on by. Oh, I know there's a lot of people that have gone to Bible school and have lost their soul. I understand that. See, it's not about my will, it's what God wills. If we go down just a little bit further in the 7th chapter of Matthew, Jesus is sharing something else that's strange. Verse number 24, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it." You see, the bottom line is found in verse number 21. "But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Our Father which art in heaven, thy will be done on earth. Unhindered obedience. Quick obedience, full obedience. "Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." And as horrible as the picture is for the end of destruction, or the end which is destruction of the broad way, the opposite, the extreme opposite, is the grandeur and the glory and the presence of God that is in life, that this straight path, this narrow path leads to. And it will be worth it all. One glimpse, all the toils of life. You see, it's intentional. You have to find it intentionally. You'll have to walk it intentionally. You'll have to proceed intentionally, walking faithfully with Him in obedience. Would you stand with me this morning? Greg Hampton, would you dismiss us in prayer?